coming to America. I seek the blessings of all of you so that I can try to speak something about the oceanic glories of Srila Prabhupada. I will speak on three main points based on Srila Prabhupada's meditation when he was coming to America, as it is revealed in his song Markine Bhagavad Dharma. Now, what Srila Prabhupada tried to achieve, not just tried, he succeeded. But at that time, when he was coming, you know, he had no certainty that he would succeed. He had been trying to serve Krishna and share his message in India for nearly 4 decades. And not many Indians had been interested. So when Srila Prabhupada came to America, he had no guarantees of success. So he was doing something which had not even been attempted, leave alone succeeded, to transplant the bhakti culture that had been practiced in India for millennia to a place where it had not even been heard about. So in human history, there are broadly two schools of thought. There is the materialistic way of life and there is the spiritual way of life. So Srila Prabhupada was bringing the spiritual wisdom of the bhakti culture to America, which was largely materialistic. As he said in his song, that Rajastamo Gune Era Sabai Achana, that these places are covered by the modes of passion and ignorance. So what he was trying to do was like a single spiritual warrior taking on an entire civilization which was steeped in materialism. Now, whenever soldiers go on a war, they know their most precious possession is their weapon, be it a sword or a bow and arrow or a gun. You know, if they are going into enemy territory, going for war, their survival and their success depends on their weapon. So they treasure that weapon, they keep it in good condition and make sure that it is always available for them for use whenever it is required. So when Srila Prabhupada was in Boston Pier and he was observing the American skyline, at that time he sings this song Markine Bhagavad Dharma. And it reveals what he conceives will be his weapon for overcoming the materialism that is prevalent in the country that he was coming to. So Srila Prabhupada was a spiritual warrior, and what he came to remove was ignorance. The ignorance that causes misery. Avidya kama karma bhi. The ignorance which leads to misery, he had come to remove that. And what was the weapon? What was Srila Prabhupada contemplating? Bhagavatera katha setava avatar dhirahaya shune jadi kane barabar. At O Krishna, he is revealing the innermost thoughts of his heart to Krishna in this song. And he says, O Krishna, you have descended as Bhagavatera katha, as the narration of the pastimes of Krishna, as the Srimad Bhagavatam. Se taba avatar, this is your avatar. And dhirahaya shune jadi kane barabar. If somebody hears this Bhagavatam, dhirahaya, the person will become sober. So when Srila Prabhupada is conceiving, what is his weapon going to be? It is going to be Bhagavat Katha. And he has brought the Bhagavatam, the first canto he had translated and commented on. And he had 3 volumes in his trunks. And when he had those 3 volumes ready, in 62, 63, 64, 3 years, each year he had produced one volume. And the first canto had been translated in 3 volumes. And now he felt this was his weaponry. So Srila Prabhupada, he is not thinking that I am such an eloquent speaker, I am such a charismatic leader, that by my eloquence and my charisma, I will attract people and I will transform people. He is simply saying that, Krishna, this Bhagavad Katha, that is your manifestation. And if people just hear Bhagavad Katha, they will become purified. And we have Srila Prabhupada, in his Bengali song, he quotes verbatim verses from the Bhagavatam, the second chapter, first canto, verses around 16 to 19 he quotes, wherein the process of how hearing leads to purification, that is described. So this is, Srila Prabhupada here is following the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. We see that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has Bengali verses. In between, he profusely quotes Sanskrit verses. So similarly, Prabhupada is here meditating that if he is going to help people come out of illusion and ignorance, the means is the Bhagavatam. And there are, in every situation, there are external considerations and there are internal considerations. Just like we have Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, there are Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita explains external reasons for the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. And then he describes internal reasons. So, externally speaking, Srila Prabhupada was an old man. He had practically no money. Whatever money he had at that time, there are so few Indians in America that he had Indian currency, which would not even have been convertible. So he had no money, he was old, he had no contacts. So materially, we could not think of, we cannot think of a less likely person to succeed in sharing any message. It is most unlikely. So there was there's a scholar of religion. He said that Bhaktivedanta Swami's achievement is so amazing that if somebody made a fiction story out of this, that an old man with no money, no contacts, just recovering from heart attacks, he came to a distant land and he started an international movement. Most publishers would reject such a manuscript as being entirely unrealistic. So he says, this is an example of a fact that is stranger than fiction. And it is not just stranger in being peculiar, but it is stranger in being astonishing, in being wonderful. Where in the history of all religions is there any example of this? This is not I quoting, this is his professor, he is quoted in this book, Hare Krishna, five scholars on the Hare Krishna movement. So here is Larry Shin quoting. So he says that where in the history of religion has there been anyone who has achieved anything like this? That, yes, there is the history where Jesus came and called people. You know, he says, come. Come, and he called a fisherman and he said, be a fisherman of men. And people left him, left everything and they came with him. He says, there are similarities, but there are differences also. He says, Jesus was sharing his gospel with people who knew his language, people whose culture he knew, people with whom he had lived all the time. Bhaktivedanta Swami was sharing the message with people who had no knowledge of what he was speaking, who were of a different generation, who had a tremendous language barrier, and he had come to a distant land where he had never been before. So, at such a time, actually speaking, to share a message, not just share a message in terms of giving a message, but share a message in such a way that people's hearts and lives become transformed. He says, there is no precedent for this in world history. This is not a case of religious upsmanship. It is just a matter of objective analysis. Where is something so astonishing as what Srila Prabhupada has achieved there? And what he achieved is extraordinarily unprecedented. But what makes it even more special is how he achieved it. So Srila Prabhupada, when he is praying to Krishna, so I was talking about external reasons and internal reasons. So externally speaking, there is the likelihood of success was very, very low. But internally, Srila Prabhupada was guided by Krishna. And externally, there was the obstacle that, say, people did not understand Prabhupada's English accent. But when Prabhupada is praying to Krishna, you know, I've just come from India. So when Indians come to America, one of their concerns is that maybe our accent is not understandable to Americans. So if students come to America, then they give a test of English as a foreign language, TOEFL, and they try to master their English. Now Prabhupada was aware of these things, that his English pronunciation was not understandable. But when Prabhupada is praying to Krishna, what is he praying? Alankrita Koribara Kamata Tomar. He says, oh Krishna, you have the capacity to ornament my speech. And what is the ornamentation that he's asking for? He's not asking for an Americanized accent by which he can impress Americans. No, the ornamentation that he's asking for is the potency of pure devotion. Sakala I sambhav hoye tumi se kautuki. Oh Krishna, by your potency, everything is possible. He says, tomara ichcha hai, by your desire, by your will, the whole world has come under illusion. By your will, the whole world can come out of illusion. And therefore, if you desire that these people come out of illusion, then please ornament my speech with the purity and potency of devotion. So it's amazing that Srila Prabhupada has worked tirelessly. If we read Srila Prabhupada's biography, Lilamrit, we find that he has struggled so much just to come to America. Yeah, first, not just to struggle to share the message in India, but after that he has come to America. And it's a heroically courageous step for an old person at that age to alone venture on a distant land, to go to a distant land. And such was Srila Prabhupada's Krishna consciousness that in his diary, now when Prabhupada went to America, he did not even know whether he was a vegetarian, strict vegetarian. He did not even know whether he would have vegetarian food or not. What to speak of in America, he did not even know whether there would be vegetarian food on the ship. And in this diary, he is so Krishna conscious that he writes, thanks to Lord Krishna for enlightening Sumti Moraji from within her heart to provide abundant vegetarian food on the ship. So, Sumti Moraji was the person who arranged for his ship passage. So, Prabhupada is not just saying, oh, she arranged for it. He's saying Krishna is present in the hearts of everyone. And Krishna from within the hearts has guided. So, I thank Krishna for guiding in this way. So, when eventually, initially there was a lot of turbulence in the ship. And Prabhupada was seasick and then he had heart attacks and then he had that amazing darshan of Krishna. And Krishna told him, reassured him that I have made all arrangements. Just as Krishna told Arjuna that Asmatam Uttishta Yasholabhasva Jitva Shatrun Bhungshva Rajyam Samruddham Mayai Vaite Nihataha Purvameva Nimitta Matram Bhavasavya Sachi. Krishna told Arjuna, Arjuna, therefore rise. Now Krishna gave Arjuna the darshan of the Vishwarupa, in which he showed how all the opponents are going to be overcome. And therefore he says, oh Arjuna, arise. Tasmatam uttishta, arise and attain victory. Yasho labhasva, jitva shatrun bhungshva rajyam samrutam. You will conquer over your enemies and you will enjoy a prosperous kingdom. How? Mayai vaite nihataha purvameva. By my arrangement, all the obstacles will be removed. That has been already arranged by me. Therefore, what you have to do? Nimitta matram bhavasavyasachi. Just become an instrument. Just become an instrument. Nimitta matram. So just as Krishna assured Arjuna in the war field, become an instrument. Similarly, Krishna came in a mystical vision when Srila Prabhupada was on the ship. The first two nights, he got heart attacks. And that time he prayed to Krishna the next day that Krishna, I want to fulfill my spiritual master's mission. Please help me. And on the third night, instead of a heart attack, came the Lord of his heart. Krishna himself revealed in the mystical vision and told him, I have made arrangements, go ahead. And eventually, after that, Captain Pandya, who was navigating the ship, he said that, in my 40 years as a captain, I have never seen the ocean so calm. And Srila Prabhupada smiled and Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna had taken charge of the ship. And Captain Pandya's wife said, Swamiji, because you were present, we had such a smooth journey. So you come back with us, we'll have another smooth journey. So, you know, Prabhupada knew that Krishna had far bigger plans than just providing him a smooth journey. So, Prabhupada, when he actually came to America, he, at a moment-to-moment basis, he had no idea how things were going to unfold. As he said, when I landed, I didn't know whether to turn left or right. But he has that confidence. So he has labored so much, first to get permission from the Indian, from the American embassy, to get the funds, to get the passage on the ship, to get the sponsorship. And after having done so much, he's simply giving all credit to Krishna. He says, Krishna, ache kicha karja tobi, tabe hei anum, hei anumane. You must have some purpose in having brought me here. Nahe keno ani bena, ei ugrasthane. Otherwise, why would you have brought me here? And here when he says, how are people going to be transformed? He's not thinking that I will transform people by my eloquence. He says that Krishna, you are the source of illusion, you are the source of enlightenment. Now what does this mean? How can we say that Krishna is the source of illusion? Now Krishna is Krishna, as Prabhupada also says, that Jagata Guru, that you are the Jagata Guru. So when you say Krishna is the source of illusion, you know, this life in this world is like a multiple choice exam. Now in a multiple choice exam, the right options and the wrong options all come from the teacher only. All the, say if there are five options, all five options come from the teacher. But the teacher also gives knowledge by which the student can choose the right option. So Prabhupada is saying here, by your will, you are the source of illusion, you are the source of enlightenment. And if you desire that people be enlightened, then you make my words ornamented in such a way that people will be able to understand it. So he is not saying my words will enlighten, it is Krishna who will enlighten, and Krishna will enlighten by speaking through me. So such a level of, Prabhupada is doing so much and he is having such a level of non-doership. I am not doing anything, Krishna. If you want, you can make things happen. Srila Prabhupada's determination was such that normally when we are small, you know, we have big ambitions in life. Say, when say children are small, they may think, oh, I will become the next president of America. And then as we start growing up and then, you know, life starts beating us with adversities and reversals and failures, then we may think that, oh, maybe I can't become the president of America. Maybe I'll just become a millionaire. Oh, maybe I can't become a millionaire. Okay, I'll become the wealthiest person in my social circle. And sometimes, you know, life's adversities become so troublesome that by the time a student is graduating, student thinks, if I just get a job, things will be good. So, what happens? We start with big ambitions. And then as life's adversities come, slowly the ambitions start becoming smaller and smaller and smaller. It's not that the nature of the world is that when there are reversals, we tend to become discouraged. Like Prabhupada writes that a devotee can be perplexed, but a devotee is never discouraged. Perplexed means to not know what to do. Discouraged means to not want to do anything. So a devotee can also be perplexed. Okay, how should I serve Krishna now? Should I do this or should I do that? Should I go here or should I go here? But as far as the principle of serving Krishna is concerned, a devotee is never discouraged. So Srila Prabhupada was tireless. Now, no matter how big obstacles come. Now, sometimes we may say that Prabhupada was empowered. And because he was empowered by Krishna, so he was able to achieve such phenomenal things. Now what empowerment means needs to be understood. If you look at Srila Prabhupada's life, he faced huge obstacles. Right from a cow goring him in the streets of Delhi, he fainting because of sunstroke, now his business being ransacked, a clique driving him away from the very temple which was going to be his headquarters, he getting a heart attack, obstacle after obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. Now any lesser soul would have just given up. But Srila Prabhupada was empowered. That means, see, empowerment does not mean absence of obstacles. Empowerment means perseverance even in the presence of obstacles. It is not that because Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur instructed Srila Prabhupada, because Prabhupada was fulfilling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prophecy, that meant that there are no obstacles. No, Prabhupada faced incredible obstacles. And the empowerment was in his perseverance even in the presence of obstacles. So that empowerment was in terms of his inner, unshakable, unflinching determination. No matter what happens. Srila Prabhupada, one Mataji disciple once wrote to him, she was very discouraged with the way things were in her temple. So Prabhupada wrote back and told her that, you know, we don't get discouraged because we function on a platform beyond discouragement. We function on a platform beyond discouragement. That means a devotee lives to serve Krishna. And the transcendental reciprocation between the devotee and Krishna, that goes on irrespective of whether there is success manifested at the material level or not. So, Srila Prabhupada, even when nobody had come, nobody was following him in India, even when he was a lone sadhu wandering on the streets of Delhi, even then Srila Prabhupada was spiritually successful. His spiritual success was that even then he was completely dedicated to the following the instruction of his spiritual master. And by Krishna's mercy, later on Krishna gave incredibly. And Prabhupada achieved what, as I said, no other religious teacher has achieved. Now, again, coming to the external and the internal, external factors that contributed to Srila Prabhupada's success. Now, externally, some people may say, oh, that was the time of the counterculture. And that's why people were open to something which is radically different. And that's why when Prabhupada came and he chanted and he danced and he taught people to chant and dance, they accepted it. Yes, now there can be a specific socio-cultural setting which may have made the time more receptive for Krishna Bhakti. But the socio-cultural setting is like a dance floor. Now, if there is a performance to be done, and there's a dance floor. The dance floor is good. That does not in and of itself ensure a high class dance performance. The high class dance performance depends on the expertise of the dancer. So yes, there was a socio-cultural setting that Krishna had arranged. Prabhupada came just at the right time historically, when people were receptive to some extent. But when he came, it was Srila Prabhupada's expertise in presenting Krishna Bhakti. The way he presented it. It is said that when we are sharing Krishna's message, the point is not to get it right. The point is to get it across. Somebody may speak everything precisely, but if people don't find it relevant, you know, if somebody comes and speaks pure Sanskrit, gives an impressive seminar, and nobody understands anything. The point is, it may be right. They got everything right, but they got nothing across. So the point is not just to get it right, the point is to get it across. So the way Srila Prabhupada got things across is inimitable. Here Srila Prabhupada is from living in Vrindavan, right in close to one of the most sacred temples in Vrindavan. We could say he has come from the capital of devotion. And where is he come? From the Vedic Vaishnava perspective, the Western world itself is degraded. But Srila Prabhupada went to the place of the counterculture, which was considered degraded even by the degraded. So Srila Prabhupada went from the capital of devotion to the capital of degradation. And when he went there, there is, practically speaking, again, historians of religion, they say that when was there a time when there was such a cultural, linguistic, intellectual, educational, religious, conceptual gap between the teacher and the audience? It was never. And Srila Prabhupada communicated. Once a hippie came to him and told him, Swamiji, what is Vaikuntha like? Now, there are times when Prabhupada quoted Brahma Samhita about describing Chinta, Mani, Prakrasadma, Shukalpa, Vruksha. There is time and place for that. But here, what did Srila Prabhupada say? What is Vaikuntha like? Prabhupada said, Vaikuntha is like an ocean of LSD. Like an ocean of LSD. Now, somebody with a skeptical, critical mind may say, in which scripture is Vaikuntha compared to an ocean of LSD? Where is it compared like that? The point is to get it across. So Srila Prabhupada, so he was speaking to an audience whose conception of happiness was in terms of LSD. You get a little bit bottles of LSD, a little bit syringes of LSD, an ocean of LSD. Wow, I want to go there. And what a place it must be. So that was Srila Prabhupada's expertise. Yes, Rohit. No? No draft board, yeah. That is the great fear at that time. And Srila Prabhupada so expertly translated. Even Yajna, Srila Prabhupada translated as taxes. The Yajna, what are we doing Yajna? We are actually paying taxes to the cosmic government. So this was Srila Prabhupada's expertise, that he got things across. And the way he got things across was not just by some verbal expertise. Yes, verbal expertise might be there, but what was important was his compassion. And a few years ago, I had gone to Jagannath Puri, and as the Rath Yatra was going along, it started raining. So we went to there was a Gaudiya Mutt along the way, so we had gone inside the Gaudiya Mutt. So some of the devotees were there with us, and at that time, a Gaudiya Mutt sannyasi came in. And one devotee, he went and asked, can I serve prasad to the sannyasi? So then the sannyasi's assistants asked him, are you initiated? He said, no. He says, if you are not initiated, you cannot serve prasad to a sannyasi. That is the standard they follow. Now what was Srila Prabhupada's standard? He was not just a sannyasi. He was a Mahabhagwat Paramhamsa. And he alone accepting service, he was serving. Not just initiated people who had no conception of initiation, whose only regulative principle was to break all regulative principles. You know? So for such people, Srila Prabhupada was not only serving food, not only cooking food, he was even washing their plates. The first time, you know, those hippies, when they came, they thought, okay, this is just like a hotel, free food is there, eat it. And when we go to a hotel, we never think, I have to wash the plates in the hotel. Just eat the food and go away. So like that, these hippies, they just would eat and go away. So one day, one hippie ate so much, Prabhupada would keep feeding, take more. Prabhupada would personally, lovingly serve. This hippie ate so much that he didn't have the strength to get up after eating. Just sat there. And then Prabhupada was talking gently with him for a long time. And then finally, Prabhupada got up and he started himself taking the plates. And he started taking the plates, took them to the sink and started washing. And you know, even he was in a stupor of both drugs and food, drugs and prasad. He still said, this Swamiji is a elderly gentleman, very learned, dignified. And he's washing our plates. That was the time he jolted out. Then he told others who used to come, you know, Swamiji washed the plates. And then they started coming and helping afterwards. Srila Prabhupada did not ask also for help. So such was his compassion. So there are standards of purity. Yes, it's a good standard that sannyasis not take food from those who are not initiated. But compassion goes beyond mere standards. Srila Prabhupada's compassion was such that he was ready to go to any length so that people would become attracted to Krishna. And ultimately, what was Srila Prabhupada's singular greatest qualification in sharing Krishna's message was that desire, fervent desire to share Krishna's message with others. Now, Prabhupada would practically all day be talking about Krishna with people who came to meet him. And at night, he would be talking about Krishna to people who had not come to meet him by writing books for them. Now that was his life, constantly talking about Krishna wherever he went. And in this way, just by his desire to share Krishna. In the Prabhupada memories, one of his disciples, Haiguru Prabhu, says that, what was Bhakti Swamiji's speciality? He says that, actually, Prabhupada, when I had only till now, just read some magazines, and Prabhupada told us, you become an editor of a magazine. Swamiji, how can I become an editor? So, Prabhupada, he said, just try it, Krishna will help you. So he said, Prabhupada, just by being with Prabhupada, we felt that Krishna was real and that Krishna would really help us. if we just try to serve Him. So you know, there are various ways in which we can understand the greatness of a person. One way is by what are the great things that that person has achieved. Yes, and by that standard itself, Srila Prabhupada achieved phenomenal things. You know, writing over 60 books, opening 108 temples, circumnavigating the globe on preaching tours for 14 times, and inspiring thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people to take to Krishna Bhakti. So that itself is phenomenal. But another way we can understand the greatness of a person is that how a person inspires others to do great things. It's one thing that I do great things. Okay, that's a sign of greatness. But if somebody can inspire others to do great things, that is even more amazing. So, the same Professor Thomas Hopkins, whom I had quoted right at the beginning, not narration, it was Thomas Hopkins. So he says that actually if someone came along and decided that I'm going to start an organization with people who have no education, no training, no background, no organizational skills, he says, not possible. How can you do it? But Srila Prabhupada did that. And once Srila Prabhupada gave a service to a devotee and he said that, Prabhupada, I don't have confidence that I can do it. Prabhupada told him, I have confidence that by Krishna's will you can do it. Just try to serve Krishna. So you know, people talk about self-confidence. You should have confidence. You should know that you can do it. You can do it. Now a devotee works at some... when we come in the association of great devotee like Srila Prabhupada, a devotee gets empowered by something far greater than self-confidence. The devotee gets empowered by Krishna confidence. By knowing that Krishna, if you are serving Krishna, Krishna is there to help. So, you know, Gurudas Prabhu was once telling us that just as when Krishna played the flute, and the gopis left everything. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Just gave up everything and just came running to Krishna. So similarly, we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the instruction that prithvite achedas nagaradigram sarvatra vacharo vimoranam. Actually, he did not give the instruction. He made the prediction that my name will spread in every town and village. Now a devotee could some people might have said, okay, if Krishna has made his prediction, okay, it's his responsibility to fulfill his prediction. Now, Prabhupada says in one lecture that Arjuna, after knowing that Krishna is God, Arjuna doesn't say, Krishna, you are God, so you kill all the enemies, I will sit and eat bhang. So, a devotee doesn't think because Krishna is omnipotent, Krishna can do everything. A devotee thinks that because Krishna is omnipotent, Krishna is so wonderful, that I should do something wonderful for him. So, Prabhupada, you know, Krishna's prophecy is a devotee's responsibility. Now, Prabhupada saw that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made the prophecy, so it is my responsibility to fulfill it. And he took that up and Krishna empowered him in extraordinary ways. So, when Srila Prabhupada started sharing the message of Krishna Bhakti with the world, what empowered him was his intense desire to fulfill Lord Chaitanya's prophecy, to share Krishna's message. Prabhupada says in that same Markine Bhagavad Dharma that when people hear this Bhagavad Katha, Dukha Je Ghuchi Be, if they hear it, then all their miseries will go away. All their miseries will go away. So what this means is, Srila Prabhupada is like a very compassionate doctor. Normally when people are sick, they go to a doctor. But the material illusion is such a sickness that it makes us sick and then it makes us forget that we are sick. So, it's one thing to be sick. It's another thing to be sick and to think that we are healthy. It's one thing, like sometimes some people are drunk. They drink too much and they realize, oh, now I am very drunk. I should not drive, you know. Otherwise, you know, driving under intoxication, I get arrested. I might cause an accident. So they call someone and please take me home now. So when the person is a little drunk, that person understands that, oh, at least that awareness is there, I am drunk. But when a person is very drunk, then somebody, you are drunk now, you should not drive. Who says I am drunk? Huh? You can't even say, I am not drunk. Huh? I can't even speak that clearly. And yet, so when a person is very drunk, That person doesn't even understand that I'm drunk. So like that, when we have some conditionings, when we are being pulled by Maya, at that time we understand, okay, now I'm a fall down, I have to protect myself. I have to take shelter of Krishna. But when we are completely captivated by Maya, we don't even understand that we are in Maya. We are in illusion, in so much illusion that we don't even understand that we are in illusion. So, this material conditioning is such a sickness that we don't even realize that we are sick. So, Srila Prabhupada is like a supremely compassionate doctor, you know, who took the medicine for curing people's sickness, not just from the hospital to the patient's house, but across seven oceans, where people who were not even aware of their sickness, but were still suffering because of their sickness, Prabhupada went and gave them that medicine. And he gave this medicine, you know, if we consider the obstacles that Srila Prabhupada went through to share Krishna Bhakti with everyone, you know, then it was like he scaled mountain upon mountain. Suppose that sometimes there are some tribal people who are afflicted by an epidemic and they're all dying and there is no one who's said, there's no medicine available. And some missionary doctor, then that valley is very remote where the tribals are living. So that doctor scales over mountains, comes deep into that valley, and then gives that medicine. And then those patients are saved. The sick people are saved. So like that, Prabhupada scaled mountain upon mountain. The mountain of apathy in India, the mountain of his old age, the mountain of the heart attack, and it was not that when he came to America, also things were alright, you know. The mountain of losing his typewriter. It is not just losing the typewriter. When Srila Prabhupada lost the typewriter, you know, what happened was, you know, that was not just his only position, important position, that was the way he was serving Krishna. So it could have been demoralizing. But Srila Prabhupada crossed all over those obstacles. He scaled all those mountains and finally came and gave the medicine of Krishna, the holy names of Krishna, to millions of people. So when we chant, when we try to practice bhakti, at that time we all face difficulties. The nature of the world is that it creates difficulties in the practice of bhakti. And on top of that, the nature of the mind is that it creates further difficulties. So when we face difficulties, sometimes it's easy to get discouraged. It's just too difficult. I can't do it. Just forget it. So if we only look at our difficulties, then we may think there are too many. But if we consider and meditate on the difficulties that Srila Prabhupada went through to give us the opportunity for practicing Krishna Bhakti, then we'll see that our difficulties are so tiny. It's like a doctor has scaled mountains to come and give the medicine. And the patient just has to take the medicine. And the patient says, oh, this medicine is so bitter. I cannot tolerate its bitter taste. Well, that bitter taste is such an insignificant problem as compared to the problems that the doctor has gone through to make that medicine available. So actually, one of the easiest ways, just before I came here, I wrote a small book on Srila Prabhupada's, on the occasion of the 50th anniversary, I wrote a small book about Prabhupada, The Movements That Made the Movement. So it is basically a chronological account of the defining moments of Srila Prabhupada's life. So how he met Bhakti Sanskrit Thakur, how he celebrated Rath Yatra, how he started writing books, how he got his Bhagavatam written. So the important moments in his life. So when I was writing, because of having to write, I meditated quite deeply on Srila Prabhupada's life. And then it struck me that actually for one person in old age, it's one thing to speak about it. It's another thing to hear about it. But when we contemplate deeply, we just realize it's incredible. Now what Srila Prabhupada achieved in many times in movies and novels, when some hero is going to do something which is very difficult, they say you are on a mission impossible. You know, mission impossible. So if there was ever any mission impossible, what Srila Prabhupada embarked on was a mission impossible. But by Krishna's omnipotence, and by Srila Prabhupada's intense desire to serve Krishna, in the 11 years when he spread Krishna consciousness, Now, mission impossible became mission unstoppable. Mission impossible became mission unstoppable. Now, wherever he went, the way Srila Prabhupada went, he shared Krishna consciousness in America, and old people say, I achieved something great. I shared Krishna consciousness in America. But then Srila Prabhupada's vision was so great, he fell sick. Okay, now I am sick, that's enough. But he took that sickness as an opportunity to open another front in India. And then he went to India, came back from India, and then he took his disciples to India, and a whole new universe of sharing Krishna Bhakti, an opportunity opened in India. And Srila Prabhupada was not satisfied with that. He wanted to go to Russia. He was trying for years to enter into Russia. But the Russian government was communist. The communism was such at that time that religious people were just not allowed inside. Systematic persecution was going on. And somehow Srila Prabhupada got an invitation for going there. And he went there for just 5 days. But even for those 5 days, one professor had invited him. And Prabhupada had hoped that professor would arrange some lectures for him. But the professor Kotowski said that we cannot arrange any lectures for you. Prabhupada was disappointed. But still he went on. Then he tried going around. And he was not allowed to go around also much. But, a pure devotee's pure desire is so strong that it can penetrate even through the iron curtain. And somehow when Chamsundarbhu was just walking along, an Indian man saw him and he was fascinated. Who is this American dressed in Indian robes in Russia? It's quite a cultural shock. Three different countries in one place together. So, now he was not very interested, but along with him there was a Russian. So, if we look at things from a purely point of view of coincidence, what are the chances that Chamsundarbhu might be walking along the street at a time when some Russian who is very interested in spiritual subject matters also walking on that same road at the same time? But this was all Krishna's arrangement. And just for a few days, for some hours, Srila Prabhupada was with the devotee who later became Anand Shanti Prabhu. And in that much time, Prabhupada injected Krishna consciousness into his heart and through his heart now to thousands of people. Then Srila Prabhupada, he went to Russia. Now he decided, let me go to the next continent, Australia. When he went to Australia, there were devotees there preaching. But they were all very young. There were deities, there were temple, there were no deities. Now Srila Prabhupada, he took a risk in his own way. He had deities installed. And with the same faith in Krishna, that Krishna will take care of everything. Krishna will make my words understandable. He said, Krishna, you please guide these devotees from within their heart to serve you properly. So, we from our perspective may say, going physically to America in old age requires courage. But for a spiritual master who knows about the standards of pure deity worship, to take that risk to have untrained people worship the deity, that's a great risk he took. And that risk he took because he had faith in Krishna. When he went to Africa thereafter, at that time, the devotees there were preaching to Indians. And Prabhupada said, this is country of Africans. You should preach to Africans. So when he was in Nairobi, what he did is he opened the Hindu temple and just performed loud kirtans. And Africans started coming in. And here there were Americans leading kirtans. And Africans and Indians dancing. Now, if you know the history of Africa, these three groups, there was always a lot of animosity. Blacks and whites, and Indians were somewhere in between. So, but as Srila Prabhupada inspired devotees to do kirtan, what happened was that all those centuries of racial prejudices, they just dissolved in the flood of kirtan that came along. And Srila Prabhupada had taken Krishna consciousness to another continent. And the last human inhabited continent, Srila Prabhupada, took Krishna consciousness to South America. When he came to South America, in Caracas, I think, the devotees had already got small Gaurnithai deities. They had Gaurnithai deities, not small, they had deities. And devotees were doing kirtan. And Srila Prabhupada was so ecstatic, so jubilant, that when he saw those deities, he saw the devotees, he always had that mood that I am a messenger of Krishna's message. And Krishna has already arranged so much. Prabhupada would generally keep his personal devotional ecstasies private. But on this occasion, he He broke down into tears. And he said, Gaurvitai, they're so merciful. They're so merciful. Always stay under the shelter of their mercy. Always stay. He had taken Krishna consciousness far and wide. As far as it has ever been taken before, more than it has ever been taken before. And Prabhupada said, more than what I had expected also. So Srila Prabhupada achieved what he had set out to achieve and more. And then he achieved spiritual success in terms of what is the perfection of a devotee's life. He came back to Vrindavan. And when he was leaving his body in Vrindavan, one of the last purports that Srila Prabhupada dictated. What was that? He said, in this world, the modes of passion and ignorance are very strong. Therefore, we should stay in satsanga, stay in devotee association. Hear Krishna Katha, and by that we will become purified. So here, what do we see? The same message that Srila Prabhupada had when he went on Jaladuta. What he is meditating. Yes, hear Krishna Katha, you will become purified. That's what Srila Prabhupada did throughout his life. And that's what Srila Prabhupada gave as his last message. Now Srila Prabhupada sometimes would say that my purports are my devotional ecstasies. Sometimes devotees think, oh, Prabhupada's purports are just talking about some misconceptions, removing those misconceptions. Where is the ecstasy? Where are secret esoteric things about Krishna? You know, when we talk about ecstasy, now a pure devotee's ecstasy is that which gives Krishna ecstasy, not which gives oneself ecstasy. And what gives Krishna ecstasy is to see conditioned souls coming to him. To see the obstacles that keep the conditioned souls away from him, the obstacles being removed. So Srila Prabhupada's purports to remove those obstacles and help souls to come towards Krishna. So his devotional ecstasy was in his consistency from beginning to end, the same message. If we just hear Krishna Katha, if we just stay in the association of devotees, we'll become freed from the lower modes and we will attain purity. We will attain pure love for Krishna and we'll attain Krishna. So Prabhupada came to give us Krishna, and it will be external vision to say that he left Krishna, he left this world in 1977. Yes, he left this world, but he left for this world his legacy. And his legacy is in the form of his movement, in the form of his devotees, in the form of his books. And most importantly, his legacy, once Srila Prabhupada was asked, that Prabhupada said that, what is the spiritual master's legacy? Prabhupada asked, who will be your successor? And Prabhupada replied, whoever wants to be. Prabhupada did not appoint any successor. What does it mean, whoever wants to be? In another interview, he says that, sometimes Prabhupada was criticized that he took the same designation, Prabhupada, as a spiritual master. So Prabhupada said, I am carrying on his mission by his mercy. So he said that, who has built as many temples as I have built? Who has written as many books as I have written? Who has made as many disciples as I have made? Now someone may think, this is arrogance. Why do you say that you have achieved so much? But Prabhupada's mood was something different. He said, I have inherited the legacy of my spiritual master. Now what is the legacy of the spiritual master? Prabhupada did not get any funds, nor any temples, nor any resources from the Gaudiya Math. What Srila Prabhupada got from Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur was the instruction. Share Krishna consciousness in English in the Western world. So the spiritual master's legacy is the desire to share Krishna. The desire to share Krishna was the legacy that came from Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur to Srila Prabhupada, and that desire to share Krishna manifested as so many books, as so many temples, and as so many devotees. So when Srila Prabhupada is saying, who has done this more than me? He's not bragging about his own achievements. He's saying that the legacy of the spiritual master, the desire to share Krishna, was so vibrant in his heart that it manifested it all as all this. So Srila Prabhupada has left for us through his books and through his legacy that same desire. If we take up the desire to share Krishna with others, then we can also be, by his mercy, inspired and blessed to share Krishna's message according to his capacity. And the more we share Krishna's message, the more we savor Krishna's message, the more we relish it ourselves. Because Krishna bestows his mercy on us. And it's like, suppose I came from a flight from India to America. So normally I have to pay for the flight. But if I am on the air staff, then I don't have to pay for the flight. The flight will automatically take me. In fact, the flight will pay me for coming on the flight. So like that, if we become a part of Krishna's flight, we become a part of Krishna's mission, sharing Krishna's message, then automatically we will be elevated. By Prabhupada's mercy, by Krishna's mercy, we will automatically be elevated towards Him. So Srila Prabhupada's, I'll summarize, I started by talking about Srila Prabhupada, his mission, his weapon which he took was the sharing of Krishna Katha, as he reveals in the Markine Bhagavad Dharma. And the empowerment that he had was that, not absence of obstacles, but perseverance even in the face of obstacles. Rather than obstacles causing his ambition to go down, his ambition went up. And he went to share Krishna's message in a country where no one had heard about Krishna practically before. And what he achieved has no parallels in world history. It's a story that is stranger than fiction, but far more glorious than fiction. And Srila Prabhupada achieved it because he had such an intense desire to share Krishna's message with others. And that's what kept him speaking about Krishna all day. That's what kept him speaking about Krishna all night. And he had pure standards, but more than pure standards, he had pure compassion, by which he was ready to even wash the plates of people who had no regulative principles. It was by his potency, his brilliance in getting things across, that he scaled the cultural and conceptual barriers and shared Krishna's message. So he's like a doctor who has labored tirelessly to take medicine to sick people. So whatever obstacles we face in our life, if we meditate, what obstacles Prabhupada went through to give us Krishna Bhakti, our obstacles in accepting Krishna Bhakti will pale into insignificance. And Srila Prabhupada, he got the legacy from his spiritual master in terms of the burning desire to share Krishna's message, which manifested as temples, books, devotees. And that legacy to share Krishna's message is available with us, all of us, even today. So I consider it my great fortune to be here amongst all of you to appreciate one more dimension of Srila Prabhupada's incredible legacy at the lotus feet of Rukmini Dwarkadish. And I seek your blessing so that I can serve Srila Prabhupada in my own small way. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki, Itai Gaur Premanande. Thank you very much. Yeah, this is...